afternoon, Cape Cod and the Islands, and welcome back to another installment of the Cape Pod Sportscast. I'm your host, Wesley Sykes, and back in the studio with us, maybe our best recurring guest, is Cape Cod shot doctor, Mr. Bob Catalini. Bob, what's going on?
Well, thanks, Wes. It's great to be back. You know, we met and did a little podcast at the beginning of the season, which was a lot of fun, and here we are at the end.
Hopefully not the end for all these teams.
No.
End of the regular season,
and we're going to maybe give some of our thoughts regarding tournament play and so forth, and actually look back at the season a little bit as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And like Bob just mentioned here, we had the MIA release its brackets for boys and girls basketball in addition to boys and girls hockey. I believe Rich and I might do a little something on the hockey brackets later this week.
Yeah, these are hot off the press.
Hot off the presses, as they say. But before we dive into the tournament breakdowns, who are favorites, dark horses, maybe some best first-round matchups, we had a local boy kind of making some national news recently this week, and Eric Demers, former Falmouth grad.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's been way, way, way under the radar that he is the leading scorer in the country.
33.
At Division III, Gordon, mm-hmm. Yes, 33-1 in that range. I think he's the leading scorer in all divisions, 1, right. 2, and 3, if I'm not mistaken. But Sports Illustrated picked up on it and did a nice article on him, a great article. Mm-hmm. And they also had a little video out. So if you pull his name up on Twitter, I'm sure you'll be able to locate that or actually Google it. But hard-working kid. I mean, I remember mm-hmm. him at Falmouth. He played for Paul Lundberg, and my thought was, when I saw him, I said, he really knows how to play. And then I knew he went on to Gordon and so forth. But what I didn't know was that his work ethic is off the charts. He's mm-hmm. worked extremely hard now for years. It's actually his fifth year in college. I believe he redshirted a year. And, you know, he's really changed his body. He's strong. He's athletic. He knows how to play. And he's a great shooter. Mm-hmm. He's a scorer. He has a scorer's mentality. He's a scorer. It's terrific.
Well,
so
I think that kind of showed right in that Hartford game, which Hartford, I think, is what, Northeast Conference Division I NCAA?
Yes, there's tape out there. They actually, probably if you go on YouTube, he scored 42 against Hartford, right. And I actually did see that, and it was incredible. You know,
double and triple teaming for a Division I opponent. You know, yeah, your Division III, maybe an undersized guard
right.
in some respects.
It's like double teaming Devin Booker in a summer run. You know, right, they're like, "What are you doing?"
Right,
but. He's a Division I player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's an example of a kid under the radar, worked his tail off, had some innate talent, and as somebody said in the article, some evaluator said, oh, he's a Division I player. But mm-hmm. he's at Gordon, and he's averaging 33 and, you know, doing well. And we'll see what the future holds. I know he has aspirations of trying to play at some level professionally, so we'll see.
Well, like if the work ethic matches up to what you said it is, you know, I see him having no issue trying to pick up a job, you know, at a professional level overseas, no matter what level it is. But, you know, one thing I just wanted to go back to in the Hartford, we're talking about this off the air. You know, there's some loophole in the NCAA rule book when you are playing a lower opponent like that. The statistics account for the Division I team, in this case, Hartford. But not for the Division III team, in this case, with Nicholls College, right? That's who he plays for?
No, Gordon.
Gordon, excuse me. Gordon. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm blanked. So the 42-45-point game isn't even accounted for in his average.
I don't understand that.
It
really
never happened.
Don't. Maybe because they expect Division III schools to get buried and kids to and have games like that affect the kids' averages, but I don't understand it. I didn't even know that. Until I read the article, I didn't know that.
Right,
really didn't know that. So
I had no idea either, but if you do want to read a little bit more about Eric, definitely go check out that Sports Illustrated article. A quick Google search will find that for you. Or if you want to hop over to capenews.net, I know at the beginning of the winter season, our Falmouth sports reporter, Rich McClone, does a great job of kind of putting together a college notebook of all the locals.
Oh, he did. Oh, great.
And that was part of his breakout, kind of his lead into the story. Talking about, you know, him entering the season and what that, or maybe it was a couple games into that at that point, but definitely had a good little story on him. And I believe the South Coast Today, Standard Times, had a story about him at some point throughout the year as well, because I'm not exactly sure how, But I believe he does have ties to the Acushnet area in addition to
Falmouth. He's from Acushnet.
Well. Okay, from I don't know, parents or grandparents or whatever
the
situation
was. Yeah, I think his dad
was.
Worked in the Falmouth school, so he attended Falmouth. But he's Acushnet, and I don't really know Acushnet.
Just a nice little pocket right between Fairhaven and New Bedford.
I know when
town.
I was at Old Rochester, we had a few kids attend from Acushnet, but I don't know. I don't know if I've ever even been through there. But,
well, maybe it's not too far away from the Titleist Company in New Bedford. So if you're ever familiar there and need some golf balls to go pick up.
Well, I do recall that a Titleist, there was an Acushnet golf ball at one time. I don't know if that's out there, but
so
way
back.
So it's
Acushnet Company or Titleist Company, FootJoy, now has bought Acushnet Company.
Okay.
So it's all one big conglomerate now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If I need golf balls, I'll just, go to the Ridge Club, walk the woods, and try to find 6 or 12.
Yeah, exactly. Get a little scooper down in the pond.
Yeah,
that's usually how I do it, right? Let's move on to the tournament, right? The main course, if you will. Here.
Absolutely, yep.
So we'll start off with girls, and we'll only do the South region here because that's really our forte.
Yes.
South Division One. Not many teams from our area, but we'll start at the top. We have Bridgewater Raynham at 18-2. Second seed in Needham, also with a record of 18-2. We have third seed Plymouth North at 16-4, and then at the four seed Newton South with a record of 15-5. So there's one team in this. Let's say, what am I looking at here? 15-team bracket from the area, and that's eighth seed to Barnstable with a record of 14-6.
Right.
They host Whitman Hansen, also with an identical record of 14-6, on February 25th at 6:30. For the right to play top seed of Bridgewater Raynham. So this Barnstable team, a little bit of familiarity playing with tight games with Falmouth this year. Had a couple of wins against Sandwich. I know they beat New Bedford a couple of times from the D1 South area. Now, they also lost two tight games with Plymouth North as well. Have you got a chance to see Barnstable at all? And how do you kind of see
I really
them?
Haven't, but they were 9-3 in the league. I believe they beat Falmouth.
I think they might have split.
They split with Falmouth. So they're very competitive. My understanding is they play very hard. They have a couple of good players. Is it the Gordine girl?
Right, Olivia Gordine, I think is how you pronounce her last name.
Alice, there's another girl.
I'm blanking on that one.
Yeah.
Like I said, I haven't got a chance to see them too much this year. So only through the headlines and everything.
I'm sure they'll compete with Whitman Hansen. The game is in Barnstable. That will help.
Right, and if that's a coin flip situation, you're looking at two teams with identical records. Whitman Hansen, I think, comes out of a tough. I think the Patriot League. Teams are usually battle tested coming out of that league, and then either way, you're kind of running into a buzzsaw. That's Bridgewater Raynham,
led by
sophomore forward Shea Bolin.
Sure.
Which again, like you said, if you're going to go make any sort of run in the South anyway, it looks like you'd have to go through Bridgewater Raynham with the way that they're playing this season as it is. So whether it's early or late. It would probably happen at some point or another.
Right. Now, they're in the Southeast Conference, Bridgewater Raynham, and...
so that's Dartmouth, Durfee, New Bedford, Brockton?
Yes, and...
Maybe Taunton?
Trying to see... did they lose to Nauset?
The Cape and Islands League, especially that Atlantic League, you're going to be facing some tough teams.
According to the schedule I'm looking at,
pretty battle tested as well.
From Keith Pearson, this shows them losing at Nauset 41-55. I don't know if that's accurate or not. I'm just trying to see who they lost to. They lost to Franklin 41-58.
Yep.
So maybe that's interesting. I'll have to check Nauset's schedule, but they've lost a couple of games, so you never know.
For Bridgewater Raynham, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think they've gone on a good run towards the stretch run of the season. And if now that I'm thinking about it, I think Nauset did score a win against them. I think that was a surprise victory. Of course, traveling out to Nauset is no easy task for any team, especially if you're coming from that far over the bridge as well. Let's move forward to South Division II. A little bit more teams within our range here. We've got a little bit more local teams in the fold here.
Mm-hmm.
Top seed Norwood comes in with a record of 19-1. Then you have second seed Foxborough, which I believe is last few years now they've kind of been on the upper tier.
They've
been
really, really
tough.
Yeah,
18-2 record. Old Rochester again, another team that's always in the mix. 18-3 record with the 3 seed, and 4 seeded Hangum with a record of 17-3. So let's start with...
Yeah, and you have Falmouth as the 5 seed.
Yes, so that's a good place to start right there. With a record of 18-4, they're hosting Somerset Berkeley, the 12 seed, who has a record of 11-7 on February 26th at 6:30 p.m. at the Antonucci Fieldhouse. These two teams have not met, but from reading Rich's Twitter, a lot of similarities from the girls' soccer season. A lot of the Thomas sisters, I believe Ariana Sylvia from that Falmouth team, they lost to Somerset Berkeley in the girls' soccer tournament this fall. So I'm not sure how many of the Blue Raiders kind of transfer over there, but from the Falmouth perspective, you can kind of see
my understanding is that was – I did referee a couple of the Falmouth soccer games on the girls' side.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And my understanding is, didn't Falmouth have a good lead in that soccer game, and then maybe they're up 2-0 and lost 3-2?
It could have been. I think I remember their season kind of getting upended unceremoniously.
Yeah, I think that may have happened. But I don't see them having a problem in this round. They will probably go ahead and get the W and have to face Hingham. And Hingham has some good players. I am aware of that.
And they'd be on the road at Hingham there.
At Hingham.
And again, if they were to get out of that bracket, possibly moving on to the semifinals, you could see Dartmouth or Nauset, which is a nice 8-9 matchup.
Yeah,
with Nauset being 14-6, Dartmouth 15-5.
Now Nauset, to me, Nauset's definitely played the tougher schedule. Dartmouth is in that Southeast Conference, and I know that New Bedford, Durfee, they're not so good this year.
Well, I know, and I know Bourne, Division III team that we'll get to a little bit later, has played them, played Dartmouth twice, and two close games. Now, now Bourne's a good team, but coming into it, you know, no talking to head coach Craig Davidson, that he was saying this is a legit team that we're playing here. So even if a close loss, you know, that's kind of like a moral victory sort of thing, and they played them kind of tight. So
that would go, yeah. I mean, I like Nauset to beat Dartmouth, even though it's at Dartmouth. It's a big, big gym, 94-foot court. I do like Nauset. I think they're tested. They have kids now who've been playing, you know, going back to when Noopy was coaching. They have some holdover kids that are battle-tested. I think they'll be
fine. And a lot of size, too, which you don't get a lot on the girls' game like that. I mean, and their ability to knock down shots inside, outside. I saw them play against Sandwich earlier this year where, actually, at one point, Sandwich had like a 25-point second quarter. They really just – kind of really exploded, but through those other three quarters, the ability to knock down shots, to deny people, you know, good looks down in their paint with their size, limiting second chance opportunities.
Yeah. Skylar Sanderson's, you know, really, really tough inside. And John does a good job coaching. So I think they'll be okay, which means they would have to go and play Norwood at 19-1. The one seed. And then, you know, on the other side of the bracket, Foxborough's 18-2. This is a tough. This is a tough bracket, this girls South Division II. I mean, Foxborough's really tough. They've had tremendous success.
Right.
Old Rochester, the 3 seed, they'll play Canton, Hockomock School. Canton, Old Rochester, they have thoughts of winning a state title this year. They think they're that good.
Oh, yeah, and I know, again, to kind of use a measuring stick of the Bourne girls, you know, they had come in with 11-game winning streak playing Old Rochester. Now they go on the road to Old Rochester. And they pretty much get doubled up by the Bulldogs, you know, snapping that 11-game win streak. I think they had maybe 12 points by halftime. You know, it was one of those type of really defensively minded, methodical games. And I even look back, I want to say it was last year, Old Rochester and Falmouth playing against one another in Falmouth.
I was at that
game. That was a hell of a game.
I was at that game. That was a great game.
I want to say it was an overtime game, if I'm not mistaken.
Could have been. Old Rochester pulled it out.
Last second type of game. But again, a real kind of tooth and nail game. So I think you look at Falmouth. I'm sure they probably want that rematch, a chance to kind of even the score, so to speak.
Ooh, now, this is interesting.
But you avoid them on either side of the bracket, which might be favorable. You know, you don't get that ORR Falmouth matchup until the finals.
Yes. Now, well, what's interesting is Old Rochester, I wanted to see who they lost to. They played at Foxborough on February 18th.
Mm-hmm.
So that was Tuesday night. They went to Foxborough. They lost 26-34. So if they should meet them – in the semis at a neutral site, that could make a difference, you know.
Right.
They lost at Falmouth this year, 47-53. So that's two of their losses. So that's South. Now, this goes back to talking about the tournament and how the format hopefully is going to change
mm-hmm.
in
2 years. Yeah.
In 2 years. Next year, they're expecting to keep, you know, the four sectional tournaments the same, but Max Preps is going to do the seeding.
Right.
And the year after, it's going to be a totally statewide tournament with 32 teams qualifying and then some other teams playing in. But you would never have all these matchups in the
right.
first or second round with the true statewide
power
tournament.
Seeding, right.
It wouldn't happen. You know, in those pods of eight teams, you know, your Falmouths, your Foxboroughs, your Old Rochesters, your Norwoods, your Hinghams would be a one or two or three seed statewide, you know.
Right. Yeah, and then, again, the opportunity for those teams to kind of reward the successful season that they had. Maybe you get an easier matchup, kind of advancing their season a little bit further. So with South Division II, before we move forward, give me your favorite.
Man, I'd be guessing.
I know. It's kind of
I'm going
a
to go with I'm going to pick Old Rochester.
Yep.
I think they really have designs on winning the whole thing. They did win it back in the late 90s, and I was employed there, so I'll go with Old Rochester.
Okay. All right. And then
that's no knock on, you know, Falmouth and the local
Norwood,
squad here, because
Foxborough,
they're very good,
yeah.
And they have certainly a capable. But if you're going to make a selection, I'll go with OR.
Yeah, you know, I was kind of leaning towards Old Rochester as well, just because it's kind of like the enemy I know is better than the enemy that I don't know,
sure.
you know, sort of
sure.
thing. So I haven't got a chance to see the Norwoods and the Foxboroughs of the world, but as we were saying, I think Foxboroughs done a good job of kind of maintaining over
They've
the last
dominated,
couple of years.
They've dominated, yeah.
But, okay, so who is your dark horse?
The dark horse there?
Yes.
I'm going to go with Nauset. I think Nauset's overlooked a little bit. I'm going to go with Nauset.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't want the nine spot.
I really want to get as many teams mentioned here as possible, and so I hate to agree with you on that. But you know, that's the first matchup that I saw. It was like nine seed. You know, a team again, size, battle tested, pretty senior laden or veteran experience, even if they're on the younger
mm-hmm.
side. If that's
mm-hmm.
the case, so I really like Nauset out of there from the nine seed as could potentially make a run. And then first round matchup, I'm staying right there as well. You know, best first round matchup, that 8-9 matchup in Dartmouth, Dartmouth-Nauset. I think that should be a fun game.
Absolutely. Yeah, that should be good. That's a good place to play too. That should be a lot of fun up there.
All right. So let's move, turn the page.
Girls Division III.
Girls South Division III. Okay. So we have, the Norwell Clippers, I believe, with the number one overall seed, Rockland Bulldogs coming at number two. Middleborough, the Satrams are the third seed, and the Bourne Canalmen, fourth seeded, three-time SEC gold champions,
mm-hmm.
come into the fourth seed with a record of 14-6.
And they play another SEC team. They play Seekonk, which is
yeah.
interesting. You said they've beat Seekonk twice this year?
Yes, yeah, so they scored a 46-42 win at Seekonk on January 7th, and then followed that up with a 10-point 55-45 win in Bourne on February 4th.
Okay, now you know if Seekonk is a decent team, they're 10-10. They play in the large division.
Small. They're in the small
they
as well.
They are in the small.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You know it's hard to beat a
the
good
old
team
adage, right?
Times.
Yeah, three
yeah.
times in a row. And again, these you know the 10-point game. I think I was at that one at home. That was a very tightly played game. And Bourne has a tendency to do this. They come out on a big run to start the game, and they kind of ride that cushion early and
mm-hmm,
kind of
mm-hmm.
play evenly with the team next to them. Yeah, you know, usually in the third quarter, that team will go on a run, make it close, and then you know I really love the shooters on this Bourne team. You know, you look at Haley McCarthy as a freshman; all she does is dial it up from long distance. She usually has
really?
Three, four, 3-pointers in a game. She's definitely going to be the point guard of the future once Kaya Fernandez graduates this year. And then sophomore Nora Bamarshi, again, another sharpshooter, real lanky, kind of – she kind of looks like a little lamb out there. She's so
her brother,
long.
You know, I know Bourne now. The Bourne boys
right.
didn't make the tournament, but her brother's a good player, Steve
yeah.
Bamarshi. You know, kudos to Bourne and Scotty Ashworth. Cam Dunbury had a nice season.
Oh, sure.
They had a nice group of boys. They didn't make the tournament, but I did see them play two or three times, and they battled.
And they were
they
fun
battled.
To watch. And Steve is a heck of a player, really good shooter.
Yeah.
I might say Nora is a better shooter than
wow,
Steve is.
That's saying something.
She is a really good spot up
really?
Shooter. And she's not she's small little frame, but she will cut to the rack and absorb contact and get to the free throw line.
Okay.
So I really liked the way that her game's developed.
Now, is the point guard, she's still there. Is it Kayla?
Kaya Fernandez. who just controls and dominates the game on both ends of the floor. Has a really good feel for running this this new kind of run-and-gun offense under Craig Davidson.
I see. Okay.
Because if you remember from a few years ago, they had Emma Fenton and a lot of size. Right. And they really played a half court.
That was just last year with Emma Fenton.
Right, yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Kaya, she's been a starter, I think, since she was a freshman. She's good.
Yeah, and I think you look at, you know, the lineup that they kind of deploy is almost like a college lineup where you have four guards and a stretch four kind of at the forward position with Brooke McCallum. So she brings that size and that rebounding mentality, but she can also pull it outside if they want to do a kind of like a five-out formation.
Yep.
So I really like them. Maybe you can tell by me kind of going on about them a little bit. But, you know, what are some matchups before? Yeah, so we'll talk about Bourne, the other team in the D3 South, the Sandwich Blue Knights, 12-6, going to be hosting.
Sandwich is the sixth seed playing Dedham. I did a little bit of research on Dedham, and they were 8-8 in their league, which is the Tri-Valley.
Right.
And they're four non-league wins were against pretty soft opponents, so I'm kind of thinking that Sandwich is going to have the upper hand. Dedham in the small division was overall eight. They were 8-8 in the small school division, and that's tough. I mean, Medway, Millis, those are strong teams. But outside, I mean, they played some weak teams. So I think Coyle and Cassidy's dropped way off, haven't they?
I believe so.
They beat them a couple times. They played Norfolk Aggie. They played Cash Charter School. I mean, this is another situation where
the power seeding, right?
The Max Preps power seedings, that algorithm will hold true. And instead of trying to pad your schedule and pick up three or four non-league games that you can definitely win, you'd be better off to play up.
And, you know, one thing I don't think you can underestimate is a team coming down over the bridge, like we were talking about with Nauset a little bit earlier. But when you have these teams, you know, just south of Boston traveling 45 minutes, an hour after a long school day, then expected to kind of get up all their energy for a playoff game while, you know, Sandwich is cool, calm, relaxed, in theory, you know, waiting for everybody to come to them, I think that's definitely a huge advantage. But you know, a little bit surprising on this Sandwich team. You know, they had some exclusion games, so that record isn't exactly
I think they excluded four games that they lost. But but I like Sandwich. They seem to be playing pretty well right now. I like Sandwich.
They're a good cohesive unit, I feel
like.
Yeah, I like
Sandwich to take that game. And then they would play the winner of Middleborough, Middleborough-Opponequit. So depending on who wins, they could have another home game.
Yeah, and I wouldn't discount Opponequit, who comes in with a record of 9-9. I know, having watched, I'm not exactly sure what their roster consists of, but I know over the last few years they've been one of the higher teams in this tournament. And I know, you know, Bourne's played them twice, you know, sometimes three times, you know, in a year. I think they met in the playoffs for a couple of years. And again, that's a usually a really smart team. I believe it's Zane Fife, I think, is the head coach, or maybe it's Trevor Gagne. I'm blanking on the head coach.
I think it's Trevor.
Trevor, that's right. Right, yeah. And he usually has them ready. But, you know, what I really loved about this Sandwich team this year is, again, a team that's kind of where the sum is greater than the parts right here. I think they play really well together. I love the emergence of Sierra Brigham in that backcourt alongside, you know, Victoria McGinnigan, who is a real kind of bulldog in the defensive end of the court.
She's a good all-around player. I mean, I remember her having good vision. She looks to pass. She makes other people better. So,
I think Sierra, you know, I think you could speak to her a little bit, but you know, she seems really comfortable handling the ball. Yeah. Really poised, really calm.
No, she's a veteran. She's a sophomore, but she's been playing varsity since eighth grade. She's a veteran, and she plays a ton of AAU. So
she's really knocking off those 10,000 hours.
She's not afraid to fire either. Now, I'm looking at Middleborough. They have some pretty good wins here. They've got they beat Rockland by two.
Right. Yeah, that's the two seed.
They lost at Norwell, but they've got some quality wins. So they've turned it around. A few years ago, they were in rough shape. But I guess they've made a big turnaround. They beat Abington. They beat Mashpee at Mashpee by 16. At Rockland, they lost by 10. So they seem to be legit.
Yeah, legit. Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, and just to finish up on sandwich, you know, I think Sarah Lutzik has done
Sarah's a good athlete.
Job on the block.
Yeah, she's
I
a good
love
athlete.
Her
really
ferociousness
athlete.
Down there.
Condon girls, another good rebounder.
Right, Condon, Sadie Hunt. I like how they can, they're big
size.
Forwards who can kind of stretch it out. You know, especially Sadie, who's not afraid to shoot and knock down 3-pointers, and then just that collective defensive minded approach that they've had over the last couple of games. I think they ended the year winning 4 or 5, 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Something to that effect. So they seem to be gelling at the right time. And, you know, for what it's worth, knocked off the top seed in Division 4 South in St. John Paul at home in their regular season finale.
Right.
And
I think it was at St. John.
Home game for St. John Paul.
Excuse me. No, I like Sandwich to move on. And who knows? If Aponequit knocks off Middleborough, they may get another home game, which would be nice.
Right, yeah. So we're definitely rooting for the Lakers there. So just like we did in the South Division 2, give me a favorite, dark horse, and best first round matchup.
Oh golly, I don't really. I feel like, who was it? Who's on with Skip Bayless? Sharp.
Oh yeah, right.
I feel like a guy that's just kind of BSing here, but
that's what half this job is. I've been
the
BSing
best first round matchup, I think, is. I'm going to just stay local with Bourne Seekonk because
third time around,
they
division
have to
rivals.
Beat them for third time.
Yeah,
you know. And as a coach, when you've got your kids get beat twice by a team, they really listen to you because they know to have a shot. They have to follow the game plan and the instructions. And on the Bourne side of it, it's like, well, we've beaten them twice. You know, no matter how much the coach is saying this, you have to understand what's going on here. It's like, well, we've beaten them twice, you know. They don't, and then all of a sudden it's a game.
Your head
with
is
2 minutes
kind of a
left.
Bigger, right.
And, if Seekonk feels like they have a shot, watch out.
Right,
so
absolutely.
So I like that as the best first round matchup.
How about a dark horse coming out of the South?
Oh, boy.
Well, I'll tell you, I like Bourne as a dark horse.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I think they could. I don't know much about the Burke-Ursuline matchup,
what happens
there. Either way, they're guaranteed at least 2 home games if they take care of business against Seekonk. So I like that aspect, again, of having just south of Boston team having to come down to the Cape after a full day of school. You know, I kind of like that. If they can get a little bit of help from Norwell, which I understand has won, the last 2 or 3 sandwich holiday tournaments that they usually host.
Oh, right.
Krista Vieri, I believe, is a name that comes to line. So, I'll go Chalk as my favorite there.
Yeah. I'll say, you want me to pick a winner?
Yeah, pick
I'm
a winner.
I'm going to go Chalk. I'll say Norwell.
Yeah, can't go wrong with,
I think
with the one
had,
seed
they
there.
They played
right?
down. Yeah, I think Norwell. Okay.
Okay.
They do have a background here.
Let's move forward. We don't have much like South Division 1. South Division 4, not a whole lot of teams within, or actually a good amount of teams, I should be honest, but not a lot that I'm familiar with. So we have the 19-1 St. John Paul Lions, which again, I think some exclusion games involved in there. They had the first round bye. Very interesting matchup potentially between, in the preliminary round, between Falmouth Academy and Nantucket, 2 Cape and Islands Lighthouse rivals.
Mm-hmm.
The winner of that game goes on to play St. John Paul. If it's Chalk, you have a nice local storyline of Gus Adams, who is the head coach of St. John Paul, going back to his old team at Falmouth Academy, potentially. So
that's a nice little
storyline there. And again, St. John Paul, Skylar Gonzalez, who was a Falmouth, I believe she's a junior now, forward center, really really good handle for a big, tall girl, tall forward like that.
Yeah, no, she was
– rebound and block and –
She played 2 years at Falmouth, so she's got some games under her belt. She's pretty good. I really, I'll cut right to the chase. I'll say the best first-round matchup is this 16-17 Falmouth Academy, Nantucket.
Yep.
That's at Falmouth Academy. That should be a lot of fun. And then the winner would play St. John Paul. So that's interesting.
So a nice all-local Cape and Islands Lighthouse League, little bracket on the top end there. Then you have Westport, 18-2. Is the second seed. I believe they narrowly beat Bourne. I think they spoiled Bourne senior night. I think it's Ponte, Mike Ponte, or Mike Pont is the head coach over there.
At
so
Westport,
I apologize.
He's been there a long time.
Yeah, he does a good job over there for sure. And then kind of a third seed. This, yeah, I don't even want to say this could be my favorite and my dark horse here. Cathedral at 13-2, getting the third seed. They have perennially dominated this bracket for a decade, maybe. I'm not entirely sure, but it feels like that. But Cathedral, I always look at them as some of the better teams in the area. And another team, actually, you want to talk about, you know, a team that can maybe as a dark horse is Blue Hills. They have a really good point guard. I saw them play against Upper Cape a couple times.
Really?
And it's such a mismatch that they usually don't play their starters or not big minutes against Upper Cape.
Really?
But they could turn it on. They really like to run. They really like to shoot. It's a very aesthetically pleasing game to watch when they're playing well.
Well, I'll give you my pick to win it all in South D4.
Okay.
To win it and their dark horse, Carver.
Really? At the five? So we're going head-to-head right there in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, Carver, that program has been on the upswing for a few years now. Mm-hmm. I think the same coach is there. A guy, first name is Mike. Last name, if it's him, that eludes me. But, yeah, they've got a pretty good schedule. They've got some good wins. Yeah.
And we're back. Now, we just wrapped up the girls' brackets. Now we're going to dive headfirst into the boys' brackets and where there are no local entries in the D1 South boys' tournament. We're going to skip over that. We're going to leave that to the big wigs over at the Herald and the Boston Globe. They can handle all that stuff. We're going to dive first into the South Division II bracket, where at the very top of the list is a team that we're both pretty familiar with, I would say, the Dennis Yarmouth Dolphins, the record of 20-2, excuse me. And looks like they won a couple of tiebreakers because I know Whitman Hansen was highly regarded coming out of South Division II. They get the 3 seed with an identical record, and Westwood also has an identical record. They get the 2 seed, rounding out those top 4 spots. Is Scituate also with 2 losses, but coming with a record of 18-2. Pretty loaded field, it seems like here.
This is a tough division. Now this goes back to the point about the statewide tournament.
Right.
And going to the max preps and really trying to evaluate the better teams, because if you are to win Division II South, you have to win 5 games. Maybe 6 if you're a playing team like a Dartmouth.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to win 5 games. Now, if you're in Central Mass, there's only 8 teams that qualified in Division II boys. They have to win 3 to get to a state semifinal.
Right.
So that's at the crux of the whole thing.
What's the level of competition in those games that you're playing in?
I will tell you this. There's a team in Central Mass. Now, I'm not sure if they're 2 or 3. I'm going to take a quick look. Central, see, there's 8 teams. It's ridiculous.
Right.
But there's a team in Central Mass Division III that could win it all, Bartlett. They have a really good chance to win the state title. But anyway, I digress. We'll go back to two.
So we'll start with the Dolphins again. Record of 20-2. I keep screwing that up there. So they get the preliminary round bye and await the winner between 16th-seeded Milton and 17th-seeded Nauset.
That's interesting. I think Nauset is better than their record of 11-9.
Yep.
I did see Milton play last year in the Silver Lake tournament. I mean, that's a year old, but they're okay. I think what's really interesting is if Nauset can go up to Milton and get a W, they have a real shot with Dennis Yarmouth.
That's not your typical 117 matchup.
No,
in the first
I was
round.
At the game, the right. Nauset game. That was at Dennis Yarmouth. That came down to the final possession.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Nauset had the ball, 7 seconds left. They were down 2. They had a chance to either tie it or win it. It didn't happen, but, I mean, that's a tight call.
Yeah, and you look at some, you know, again, teams that are very familiar with one another. We were talking about this off-air, kind of, you know, how fun it's been to watch Bobby Joy play, you know, on the hardwood over these last 3 or 4 years or however long, you know, he's been a varsity player. He seems to have a really strong handle and control of the game. So with the ball in his hands, I think you have to, you know, give him the benefit of the doubt that he's going to make the right play and the right call more often than not.
Yeah, you have to respect that. And they have that kid Liam who can shoot O'Hara, the lights out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, DY has good players with Connor Campbell and Stowe. And
Jaquan
Phillips
and Kyle
Ruggieri. They have a good team. They're getting it done. I mean, they're winning games. In the beginning, when we first had this podcast back in December, I felt like D.Y. was a step ahead of everybody, and it's turned out to be true. Probably, I mean, I wouldn't have predicted them to be 20-2, I can tell you that.
You add Connor Campbell to a team that's already three or four players, you know, star players kind of deep, and that's like Kawhi Leonard on the Clippers sort of thing, kind of acquisition type, you know, like how that happens. And he's been, you know, I feel like a really good, solid addition to that.
He's had a good year. And, you know, I've seen them play a few times, and the coach, Dante, has he's gone kind of deep on the bench. He's going eight or nine deep. Mm-hmm. So he's not afraid to send, you know, to send in some fresh legs. So
no, they seem to play smart with one another. You know, they seemed also to be involved into a lot of tight games, and they've been able to come out on the right side of that a couple of times.
Hey, now we're looking. Do we have a correction here in South 2?
It's possible. What are you seeing online?
I'm looking at the MIAA website. No. That's right. Milton Nauset. And then after that, it's Randolph Bishop Feehan. And that's
right.
That could be challenging. So there's no easy way. There's no easy way in this Division II South boys. Situate's tough.
And even just going down the list, I mean, you have, Tech Boston as a 10 seed with a record of 13-7. You know, they're regarded as one of the best seeds. If you follow the Boston Herald North-South rankings that they would do every week, they're regularly one of the top teams in the South. I believe they were a state finalist, a South sectional finalist last year. So, you know, I don't know what you know, graduation did to them in that time, but I'd have to imagine that team coming out of, I believe, the Boston City League.
Right. You don't know what you're going to get. You know, they play New Mission.
Again,
Boston, you don't know what you're going to get.
The best matchup. I think that those are two league rivals, if I'm not mistaken, two Boston City League teams. And it's almost a shame that they have to kind of cannibalize each other in a certain sense.
Yeah, no, this is tough. I mean, Westwood's good. You know, Whitman Hansen's terrific. I mean, this is a tough. Scituate's very good. This Division II South boys, wow, whoever comes out of this is going to be
And I even look at a sixth seed like Dighton Rehoboth as a team. You know, we talk about the SEC a lot, and Bill Cuthbertson, am I pronouncing this?
Yeah.
You know, hard-nosed, defensive-minded, old-school coach who's going to play, you know, has no problem kind of getting in a rock fight of a game. You know, they have Shane Mello, who's, you know, I feel like he's kind of like the Perry Ellis of Dighton Rehoboth. I feel like he's been playing for like 6 years on that team. I know that's not a shot at him or anything, but I feel like I've seen that name a lot over the years. And he's done a good job for them. I think he's their leading scorer. They also have another guy. I'm blanking on his name. He's really long and lanky. John Marseal. That's his name.
Okay.
Really smooth stroke, really good outside shooter, can rebound. You know, like I said, he has that kind of long limbs to him.
Right.
Kind of wiry type of player. But so that's kind of a nice 1-2 scoring
punch. I think they'll
get
by North Quincy. But, you know, then to get by Whitman Hansen, that will be really, really tough. I mean, Somerset, Berkeley, Dartmouth, there's not a lot there. Whitman Hansen should coast. So it could be DR and Whitman Hansen in the quarterfinals, but I mean, I like Whitman Hansen there.
Sure, yeah.
On the other side, I mean, I've seen Hingham. I watched Hingham play, and I left the gym. I didn't know who their best player was. You know, I was kind of disappointed in Hingham, but they're a 5 seed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's going to happen.
They've been highly rated throughout the course of the year as well.
Yeah, I don't see it from what I saw, unless I saw them on a bad night. But I mean, I think I like Scituate to come out of that quadrant. I mean, you have to favor DY. I think the semifinals could be DY, Scituate, Westwood, and Whitman Hansen. I'm kind of going
just
with
go
chalk
all
there.
Chalk there. But you know, they all come in with 2 losses. I think they've earned that right to kind of get that.
No
kind
doubt.
Of
DY played a good schedule.
Yeah,
absolutely. They went off Cape or whatever. They had people come from off Cape. So
yeah, and I think
that's just brutal. That's Division II South boys, boy. If you win that.
Yeah,
something
you
got to
be proud
of.
The favorite, right?
So absolutely. That's just another feather in the cap of having a full statewide tournament. Because these teams, if you had four 8-team pods, those four teams would be, you know, 1, 2, 3 seeds in your 8-team pods.
And they're not meeting each other till the end.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. You got a favorite matchup you want to choose from here? Because I think I'm going to go with the New Mission Tech Boston 7-10 matchup. A couple of city teams.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Nauset Milton because I think that's they're both 11-9. If Nauset can make the trip to Milton and get a W, That's a really interesting 17-1 game with DY. They have the capability of going in there. They know they've played them tight twice, and they have the horses. You have a kid like Bobby Joy. I know DY has depth, but, you know, once again, it's hard to beat a good team three times.
Right, absolutely. I get,
so I like that as a first-round matchup, that 16-17 game.
The one thing, I like Nauset in that game, too. Again, the travel going up to Milton from Nauset, that's a hell of a trip. You know, you hope
well, they're
going to
drive halfway and stay over and then finish it out the next day, right? I mean, they're
hopping
exempt
Airbnb
from school. Yeah, that's not an issue.
Okay, so let's move over to the D3 South bracket for the boys basketball region. Rockland, looks like they have a pretty good athletic program this year. You know, I know they're really good in football, girls basketball, we already mentioned, and then they got the top seed here.
They have
D3
really
South.
Good history. They've won state championships. They have a really good basketball history at Rockland.
Yeah, my aunt actually was a forward for the Bulldogs way back when. Yes.
Really?
Yeah, so shout out to Linda Regan.
Yeah, shout out. We like that. Shout it out.
So the Bulldogs come in with a record of 18-2. Wareham Vikings are the second seed. They have a record of 18-4. The Monomoy Sharks are the three seed at 16-4. And the Norton Lancers, I believe, are the four seed at 16-4. That's where we're going to start this conversation, the 4-13 matchup, where you have Sandwich coming in with a record of 9-9. I think 10-9 is their official record, but
well, they excluded the Dartmouth game, so they're 9-9.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Oh, I see. Okay.
Yep.
So they come in there, and that they play on February 26th at 6:30 in Norton. Not your typical 9-9 team for the Blue Knights. I think they've been streaky at times. They're definitely on the younger side. But when they have been able to play to their full potential, you know, I think you look at that Monomoy game that we were at home, you know, that's probably the pinnacle of where they can play. And they just really ran that Monomoy team off the floor. You know, I think the conversation kind of starts and ends with Chris Cronin and how he's able to not only establish himself but establish his teammates along the way and kind of get them growing in confidence.
You know, Sandwich, nothing has been easy for Sandwich all year. It's been a battle. It really has been. I know when we had our first podcast in December, they had gotten off to a rocky start. They started off 0-3.
And how many
then
of those
they won
like
at Dartmouth in two overtimes, a game that was excluded. So they're basically 0-3 and need to win – 9 of the next 15 games, and they did it. And they had some really good wins down the stretch. You know,
Many of their losses were by, you know, a couple of possessions late? I think of Nauset, I think of Barnstable, I think of DY, game against DY.
They swept both Nantucket and Martha's Vineyard, which was no easy feat because they had to go there and win and obviously win at home. They bounced back against Monomoy and won. They won their last game in the consolation of that tournament in Abington, down at half, I think. I think even down in the third or fourth quarter and came back and won it. So there's some good, gutty, tough kids on that team. They've hung in there. I think, you know, Chris is the main guy there. I mean, he can get it done. When he makes his mind up to go to the hoop, watch out. And he can stroke it from the outside. J.P. Downs has had a really good year.
Yeah,
he's had some games with 5 and 6 triples. Good floor leader.
You know, I think Sean Lansing is another guy who's emerged late down the stretch.
I didn't really
here.
Know him as a player, but he's had a hell of a year. He's been
really
consistent
has,
as a sophomore. He's really had a hell of a year. And, you know, Will Harmon.
He's had a
nice story.
I think he had one 24-point game this year. Like he was
Will
really
Harmon,
huge.
Now, I train a bunch of those guys. And Will is a guy who just came in, you know, for the last couple of summers. Under the radar, worked hard. And he actually, I didn't realize this until I saw them play, but he was named a captain this year.
Yeah.
And he's been starting, and he had a 24-point game against Barnstable.
That's right, Barnstable,
you know,
yeah.
It's one of
that
those
was a
100-point
game, yeah.
It's one of those nights where everything goes right. You know, if you golf a little bit, right?
Sure, yeah.
So I mean, we're all sort
I don't
of
have
hackers.
Those days, but
yeah, we're all sort of hackers. But every once in a while, you go out, and all of a sudden, after 6 or 7 holes, you go, hey, I'm one over. This is pretty good.
Right.
So I think that was a Will Harmon night. You know, he had a night that he can remember for the rest of his life and tell his kids and his grandkids. He dropped 24 on Barnstable. I mean, it was – that's pretty good.
And
how many guys score 24 in a high school game? There aren't many.
In a game where they score 100 points as a team, which comes even fewer and far between, I think, at that point. Yeah, I really liked it. Like you said, Will Harmon. I think – you know, Jack Mandy has provided nice points,
Mandy
nice
boys
presence.
Have done pretty well.
You know, down in the paint.
Timmy Bengtson off the bench as a freshman's done a nice job. My understanding is that Colby Layton started the game they had to win in the Abington tournament over Plymouth South, and he had a good game. So when he's in there, they're pretty athletic.
He's an X factor for me. I really like what he does. You know, he doesn't show up a lot in the stat book with the points as far as points go, but what he's able to do
shifting
defenses, deflecting shots, redirecting shots. I love his, you know, kind of as an X factor for this team.
He's high energy. He's athletic, and you know, Sandwich, like DY, they go 8 or 9 deep, and I know they've tried to rest Chris and JP a little bit here and there because it's tough. Chris has a motor, and for him to go 32 minutes, it's tough, you know. So it's good that those guys get a little bit of rest. They have some depth on the bench.
So I like them a lot. You know, just to finish up on Layton, too, I love his energy. He just has to harness that. You know, when he gets into foul trouble, I think that hurts them a little bit because he can pick up, you know, a couple, two or three with his aggressive nature and kind of in a heartbeat. And then suddenly you lose him for a half or a quarter or whatever the case is. And you want that presence definitely out on the court. So if they are able to get by Norton, who, again, 4 seed, 16-4, they have a potentially favorable matchup in that quarterfinal round with a Fairhaven team, assuming they win their 12-5 matchup as the 5 seed. So Fairhaven, we were talking about this. I think Jason Antonio is the head coach there. Who was a pretty good player in his own right at the time.
Yeah, I saw them play against Bourne, and like you were saying off the air, the sum of the parts.
Sum's greater than the parts.
The sum is greater than the parts.
You know how long
that's
taken me to get that phrase down? I've practiced that so many times.
The coach did a good job.
Yeah.
They did a great job as a team. They blocked out. They really did a good job on Dunbury. I didn't think they're all that talented individually, but as a team, they did a nice job.
Well.
I think they started off really hot and maybe dropped off a little bit. People
because I know they really, I think they were one of the first teams to beat Wareham, in the season. So I think that was definitely big. And again, you talk about being able to handle Cam Dunbury. I know they're not in here. We talked about the SEC being kind of cannibalistic this year in a lot of ways. I think you look at Bourne, regardless of their record, you know, had they gotten in, with the Sullivan rule or as a second place finisher in the South Coast Conference Gold, that's a team no one wanted to face. And I think you even saw that last year in that double overtime preliminary round game in Monomoy, which was, you know, an instant classic as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, you add a game-changing presence like a 6'9 Dunbury, and suddenly you throw the record out. You don't care anymore because who can match up with them?
Right.
So
Norton now, they're 16-4, 13-3 in the league. They're in the Tri-Valley League, Norton.
Again, another tough league, right?
Yeah, that's a tough league. Norton, let me just scroll down here. Now, they beat Seekonk 58-43. At Old Rochester, they lost 47-63. So that, to me...
Right. Old Rochester's a good team, but they're a little bit down this year.
I've seen them play. They're solid.
Mm-hmm.
So that, to me... You know, the home away thing is a factor. Now, at home, they beat Old Rochester 61-45. So,
okay.
I mean, Norton, the Sandwiches is the underdog here.
Yeah, decidedly,
no question.
I think. Yeah, but I think if you can catch them sleeping, you know, maybe.
Have to play a near perfect game. I mean, they have to hit their outside shots, not foul. Defend well and not turn the ball over. That's what they're gonna have to play their best game of the year if they're going to have a chance against Norton.
Now on the other side of the bracket, where Wareham's the 2 seed, you skip down to the 3 seed Monomoy against the aforementioned Bulldogs of Old Rochester.
That's going to be
a
pretty
great
good
matchup, I think.
That's at Monomoy, and you know I work with a lot of those kids. Now those kids, they've had some tremendous wins. I mean they're 16-4, so. They went to Nauset, beat Nauset.
Yep.
They beat Sandwich at home. They beat DY.
Right.
They have a win over DY.
That was early, too, in the year, I think, too, right?
I'm not really sure. But in the matchups, they got popped pretty good by DY, Nauset, Sandwich in the matchup. But still, those were great wins. I think their other loss of the 4 losses, they split with Cape Cod Academy.
Right.
So, Monomoy, Old Rochester, that's going to be a really good game. two good coaches, Keith Arnold, Steve Cavallo. Old Rochester has some talent.
Yeah,
they have a big hulking kid.
Right.
They have the kid Luke Burke, who transferred in from a military academy.
Mm-hmm.
They have the quarterback on the football team. It's like the two guard. They have a good point guard. That's going to be a really good game. That's 226.
Right. Yeah.
So that's a conflict
with Sandwich.
So yeah, I hate to say it. I think I'll be going to Monomoy.
Well, that's a closer drive for you. I'm going to the bridge.
Yeah, why don't you go to Norton?
Yeah, okay.
Why don't you go? I might have to hire you here, actually.
Yeah, what are you doing this week? Why don't we talk off the air here?
yeah, we'll figure something out. So, but anyway.
I think that's an interesting matchup. What I really love about this D3 South is the matchup just below that, and I think that's a rematch between the South Finals last year, between 6-seeded Burke and 11-seeded Bishop Stang.
Yeah, Stang isn't what they have been.
No, they graduated a lot, but.
And some kids return to Wareham. Now, right. Wareham is the two. Wareham should be in good shape, but they just seem to be barely getting by with a lot of their wins. They win by 2, 4, 6.
Right. And you I think they've readied the ship a little bit down the stretch. So
okay.
Now, I saw them in two tight games against Bourne. I know they split with Fairhaven. So I've seen.
The Bourne game was phenomenal.
Bramashi
hit the three, and then
Joey with the runner.
Hit a runner at the buzzer. I mean, that was made for TV.
Yeah, that was something else for sure. And I think it's an instance of a really talented team playing down to their competition in some cases. So I think for the tournament, you should see a reinvigorated Wareham team that's really loaded and primed to come out of the South.
They have talent.
Yeah.
It's a matter of the sum being greater than the parts.
Right, there we go. I think I'm going to title the episode this, right? Sum greater than the parts.
That's right.
The Cape Pod Sportscast here. Okay, so who's your favorite? Who's your favorite favorite matchup? And who's your dark horse to come out?
I have to say my favorite matchup is Monomoy-Old Rochester because I'm close with both coaches. I've trained a lot of the Monomoy kids, and actually I know Luke from Old Rochester pretty well. I'd say that's my favorite matchup, the 3-14. And what else did you say?
Dark horse.
I'm going to go with Sandwich to go up to Norton.
I love that. Okay.
Okay. My boys from Sandwich, I trust they'll go up there and get it done, and then I'll see them when they go to Fairhaven for the next game. I'll promise that I'll go to the Fairhaven game.
Okay. And who is coming out of the South?
Who's coming out of the South? Damn. I'm going to go with I'm going to say Wareham.
Yeah.
They
yeah,
have
I
the
like
talent.
Wareham too.
They have the talent. They have a bye, so they're going to play the winner of Dedham.
Yeah, they're going to be home up until Rockland, potentially
in
the South Finals.
I'm going to say Wareham, but trust me, if you've got Monomoy, Old Rochester, Burke, and Stang on the other side, it won't be easy for Wareham, but I'm going to go with Wareham. They have the talent.
Yeah, I like Wareham as a favorite. I think my favorite first round matchup is that Burke Bishop Stang matchup. I would love to be able to go see that if I can.
Well, you can. What about the local teams? I mean, come on.
Well,
give the local teams some love.
Well, I think my dark horse to come out of it, come out of the South, might be a Monomoy team. How's that for you?
All right, thank you.
No, 3-seed, not exactly a dark horse.
Well,
my dark horse to
win a game is Sandwich. I didn't
right.
say to win
yeah,
the
as
whole
like an
South.
Upset. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Upset
yeah.
special.
I get you on that, yeah.
Take Sandwich, plus the points.
Plus the points, okay. I like that. You know, and if you're feeling really risky, just take them on the money line. That
Correct.
Could be probably
I
a good,
already did.
A good
already
payday
did.
For you at the 13-4 matchup. That will probably cover a rent check or car note or something. All right, so let's get to the last and final bracket here for the boys basketball tournament.
This is interesting.
South Division 4, a lot of teams from our area here. We have Bishop Connolly at the top seed at 13-3. Westport coming at 16-4 at the 2-seed. Old Colony, who is, I believe, playing tonight for the Small School Vocational Championship, comes in at the 3-seed at 16-4. And then Abington with the 4-seed, who I believe, were they a South finalist, or was that Cohasset who came out of the South last year? I forget.
One of them beat Cape Cod Academy right in the South
That's
finals.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm not sure which it was, to be honest with you.
Okay, so let's start with the team that I cover on a regular basis. The 7-seed Upper Cape Tech Rams with a record of 15-5. They're hosting another Tech school team, Southeastern, with a record of 12-8. February 26th, 6:30 game. They all are conveniently
they're all
placed.
226.
Yeah, yeah. They can't help us small-time reporters here.
Yeah,
so
stagger those a little bit. But anyway,
I love the Rams this year. Okay. Yeah, I think a good staple of Billy McCooch coached teams.
McCooch, yeah.
Is you're going to get hard-nosed, fast-paced, pesky defense.
Okay.
A lot of steals, a lot of run and gun, transition points.
Yeah.
And again, to borrow that term again, some greater than the parts. They don't.
Okay.
They have one really good player who can fill it up, and Des Nascimento.
Yeah. Now, how good is he? I haven't seen him this year.
He's a good player. I think my issue with him, again, I really like it. Sometimes his shot selection is not always the best.
But sometimes if you're carrying the load,
but
it's
if he
like,
gets,
you know,
he got 27 against Old Colony in a double overtime game. You know, immediately starts the game off with like 10 points like that in the blink of an eye, and then quietly ends the game with 27.
Okay.
I love their my favorite player on that team is probably their senior point guard, Connor Reedy. Real kind of a Marcus Smart, kind of gritty type of guy.
Okay.
Can hit big shots, but is just a real pit bull on the defensive end of the floor. And they have some kind of a French hick guy, Jared Nivojcic, who's a younger brother.
I've heard that name.
Of Sturgis East player,
okay.
Who I'm blanking on his first name. But he can he had set the school records for single game three-pointers made.
Oh, really?
And points scored. He had 11 in a game.
11 threes?
Yeah, who was it against? St. John Paul.
Wow.
at the HYCC, and then finished that game with 38. So he can spot up shooter.
What town are they from?
Wareham.
Oh, that figures.
Yeah, yeah. So
Wareham, I have to tell you, that area is loaded with talent.
Hotbed.
I'm telling you, I've been spending time at the Wareham Y,
right,
as
yeah.
you know, working some people out, and even younger kids, middle school kids. There is so much talent in Wareham.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's crazy. Anyway.
No, I agree with that. I mean, it's fun just going being a fly on the wall and kind of watching those Saturday pickup games at the Y.
Yeah.
You get some good runs out there, some good college runs. You know, I know, Aaron Struthers comes back there, and he brings out Jake Ashworth and everyone down from UMass. And then you got Jordan and Denzel.
There's so much talent in that area, even younger kids. Oh,
right.
My goodness. Talent.
But yeah, so I love what they can do in that game. Nivojcic, you know, he kind of had the Klay Thompson game. You know, he probably had 38 points on 12 dribbles, like didn't have to dribble the ball at all. You know, just a spot-up, knockdown shooter.
Catch and shoot, yep.
Which I love. So if they can get past Southeastern, you're looking at a Westport-Mashpee potential game. Against Mashpee, I really like them. Don't know much about Westport, but they play.
Well, Westport's a basketball hotbed, too.
It's kind of underrated.
Historically, outstanding players come out of Westport, and many times, because the education there isn't really the best, it's a really small school, they leave. You know, I know there's a player or two that's at Tabor from Westport on the women's side, on the girl's side.
Oh,
there's that left-handed.
She was
a lefty.
At
she went to Dartmouth. She
right.
went to Dartmouth
yeah.
and then
yeah,
went
yeah.
to Tabor.
Mm-hmm.
Westport kid.
Yep. That's right. You're absolutely right on that. And then just to do a quick shout out to.
You know, quick. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, shout out to a couple of buddies of mine from the Westport days, Nick Fryer and Matt Medeiros. Matt Medeiros is a 1,000-point scorer in both college and in high school. Actually, he played at St. Joe's in Maine. And Nick Fryer played baseball at Northwestern, was also a basketball player in the Wildcats.
That's pretty good. Hey, shout out here, talking about Westport, they will play Mashpee.
Right.
And Mashpee, I'll tell you, they had to – you talk about sandwich grinding to get in the tournament.
Same
Mashpee
thing,
had their back to the wall. They came down – they were down, what, 2-2 in the next to the last game?
Yeah.
And Caden Silva got a rebound, kicked
out. That's right,
Came down the floor, pass. Who was the kid who hit the shot?
Kendall
Rose,
I think, yeah.
Rose hits a shot at the buzzer to keep them alive.
Mm-hmm.
Then they go to Hull. And have you ever driven to Hull?
I haven't driven the hole, but I know it's out there. It's out on the
tip, rough.
Right?
It's rough. So those guys now, a day or two later, have to drive to Hull. And, you know, Hull, I think, is a tournament team. And I know they have a 1,000-point scorer. They have a huge a kid who scores a lot of points. Is Hull in the tournament?
I don't think so. It should be D4 if that's the
maybe
case,
they're
right?
Yeah. But anyway, they have to go to Hull and get a W. And I'm kind of following it on Twitter, and it's sort of back and forth. And finally, Mashpee closes it out, and God bless those guys. I mean, that's a grind.
Yeah, and congratulations.
10-10 in a good league.
Yeah,
you know, good
Justin
coach.
Clark in his second year, you know, just missed out in the playoffs due to like a scheduling conflict or something.
Shout
last
out
year.
To my guy Caden Silva, who worked out with us all summer. He's a good kid. He really liked that boy. And I wish them the best. Go to Westport and get it done, boys. You can do it.
Yeah, I love hearing that. And then, of course, I think one of the teams to keep an eye on, I think this is an easy dark horse candidate, is the 11-seeded Cape Cod Academy Seahawks.
Well, here you go. Now, Cape Cod Academy, finalists last year. I believe they have everybody back or near everybody back, a year better, a year stronger. So here we go. Now we're back to talking about the new format, which we hope will come for the state tournament.
Now,
because
so here's
Cape Cod
question.
Academy, other than some of the easy league games they've had, they've played a really good schedule.
That was my question, because I know the Lighthouse isn't the best of basketball divisions.
Well, yeah, I mean, rising tide and a couple of – although they did lose to Sturgis, I think.
Right, yeah.
When Jaden was out, but – between Rising Tide and Falmouth Academy, I mean, those
four wins right
those
there.
Are basically scrimmages. Yeah. But they've played up. They've played up. They've had some really good non-league games.
Yeah.
So
in
terms of, you know, the strength of schedule, they're much better than an 11 seed. They could easily come out of this out of the 11th seed and win it.
Yeah, pull up some of their records here because
I will.
Yeah, I'll say Jane Greeley, who I believe is a junior now. Could
he
be a senior,
be
a might be a sophomore. I forget what he is at this point in time.
He's listed as grade 10 on this program.
Okay,
that
so
I
yeah,
have.
So okay, so he's a sophomore, but I think he's was held back a year going to Cape Cod Academy. So I think he got an extra year in there or some sort of effect like that. But anyway, he had a broken arm, broken hand at a certain point, missed a good portion of the season.
Yeah, that's probably why they lost a couple of games at one stretch of the season. Now, Cape Cod Academy, they opened with DY. Now, they played Nantucket, and Nantucket qualified for the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
They lost at Sturgis East, and I think that's when Jaden was out. Now, they went at Abington. I think Jaden was still out. They lost up there by 10, but that's pretty good.
They
went to the Vineyard and
got
beat.
Team.
They beat Monomoy. They played Fenway and beat Fenway.
Mm-hmm.
They beat the Vineyard at home. They lost to Nauset. I think that was an exclusion game.
I would imagine so.
They lost to Nauset at home in like triple overtime, 89-91. They went to Nantucket and got beat, but that's no.
Not that bad of a loss.
No, that's not bad. So they went to Monomoy and got beat 62-66. I think that was for the league. Then they lost at Nauset and they lost at DY. I mean, they're not afraid to play the iron.
No. I think they're one Achilles heel. You know, they definitely want to get out and run. They're going to fill it up. Definitely get their shots in from outside. I think they're susceptible to some size.
Yeah.
And if you can throw a couple of bigs who have five fouls to give, I think you can probably wear them down a little bit. I look ahead to the quarterfinals potentially with a CCA Old Colony matchup. Old Colony right now, I think. They don't have Jake Jason, who's their 2,000-point scorer who graduated from a year ago. But they have Hunter Soares. They have a couple other guys who are really good, kind of tall. They're all kind of good interchangeable players who can guard multiple positions. I have a lot of respect for the head coach, Matt Trahan, there.
I like Matt Trahan. I'm friendly with him. But
He always gets them up for big games.
Having said that, I mean, I'm not sure about West Bridgewater and – how they are with Cape.
No, I'm not sure either, but I'm assuming
I still like
that.
I like Cape Cod Academy to get out of that particular grouping there with West Bridgewater and Old Colony. You know, I like them. I think that they're tested. They went to the finals last year.
Yeah, and I think I don't want to get way too ahead of myself, but you look on that right side of the bracket, if you do have Old Colony Cape Cod Academy quarterfinals, Upper Cape gets through to the quarterfinals and somehow can get their way to the semifinals, and now I'm looking way ahead. Now you have, a great matchup between Old Colony and Upper Cape Tech with two division rivals meeting for the third time.
Are you okay?
I'm going way ahead down the road here.
You think it's going to be Upper Cape and Old Colony?
No, I'm saying
in the
just
semis.
I'm just playing it out here.
Okay.
Or against Cape Cod Academy, who ousted them in the postseason the year ago, and I think they've lost like three or four, like every game since Adam Rose has taken over.
Yeah, Cape Cod Academy is not going to have a problem with Old Colony. I can tell you that, and I haven't seen Old Colony. I saw them last year. They won't have a problem with them.
See, I would enjoy that game. I think I'm going to find myself going out to more out of local region games.
Yeah.
Once everything kind of wraps up.
I'd love to see Mashpee knock off Westport, and then get. I'm hoping for a Mashpee, Cape Cod Academy semifinal.
Oh wow! So you want to go just complete chaos and just kind of turn everything upside down?
No, Mashpee can get it done.
But you'd be looking at an 11-15 seed. I'm not saying they can't get it done, but if you're
strength of schedule, Mashpee in the South Shore League, Cape Cod Academy plays up, non-league.
Sure.
And their talent level is there. I mean, I know a few years ago, DY went out to Westport and spanked them in the tournament. I mean, Westport, it's small school, not a great league. I think Mashpee can get it done.
Okay.
I'm going Mashpee, Cape Cod Academy in the semis on that side of the bracket.
Now, I do have to point out here, Bob, is that you've gone from praising Westport as a basketball hotbed to
Mashpee's
going full circle into Mashpee.
I
like it.
Mashpee's
though.
Hot. I like.
No, I like it because you're talking your way through it right now.
And the other side, I'm going. The other side, I really don't know Bishop Conley.
No, I'm not too.
Hey, Nantucket. Let me tell you, Nantucket has some athletic kids. Mm-hmm. Nantucket could come out of the 17 on that side in the semis, and then now here's another thing: Abington and Coho are going to probably bang against each other, and one of them will be in the semis. So,
right.
My semi picks, I'm going Nantucket. Then it'll be the winner of Abington and Coho, Mashpee, and Cape Cod Academy.
Wow, loaded Cape Cod. Now, I
think they play the schedule.
If I'm not mistaken, the Mayflower Athletic Conference Comprehensive Division, that middle group, I believe is Westport, Bishop Connolly, West Bridgewater, Southeastern.
Okay, right away, when you have a league called Comprehensive Division,
I understand.
I have an issue.
But I look at the records: 13-3, 16-4.
Who
were
they playing?
West Bridgewater. Well, they'd be playing each other. Is my thought process. Right, so they have those teams that are all three.
I mean, who's
top
in there?
Seeds.
Atlantis Charter or?
I don't know where Atlantis Charter is. They're fairly.
I'm sticking
new
to my guns on this.
Okay.
I just don't believe Bishop. Maybe I'm wrong, and you'll see Bishop Conley come out of that bracket and Westport come out of that bracket. But I'm going to stick to my guns.
Give me
staying with my people.
Your best first round matchup.
Best first round matchup. I'm going to have to say Mashpee Westport. I mean, they each have a bye, but I'll say Mashpee Westport. I like Mashpee to go up there.
Okay.
I like the Falcons.
And who is your underdog or your dark horse to win the league?
The whole thing?
The bracket, yeah.
Well, to win the bracket, I'm going to say Nantucket. They've got some talent.
Okay. Yeah, no, I agree with you.
I like Nantucket.
I mean,
these other teams, I mean, really? I'm sorry. I don't want to denigrate them, but I mean, Duke, North Carolina.
Blue chip.
I hope Matt Trahan doesn't listen in because he'll kill me.
I think he follows me. He's a fan of of the show here. I won't add him. How's that?
He'll probably unfollow me on Twitter after this. He hears
it's
this.
It's nothing personal,
Matty. We love you, kid.
So I really like Cape Cod Academy as that dark horse team potentially coming out of the league.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even see him as a dark horse.
It's a
cheap, I know they're
but
an 11.
They're 11 seed. I agree with you. So I'm going to play to that a little bit. I look at best first round matchup, Abington Blue Hills. Blue Hills is a team.
Oh, see, Blue Hills.
13 seed, but very, very prominent in the D4 South tournament over the years. Again, run and gun type of team.
Really? Okay. Who knows where they're drawing from? What Canton? What's
Canton,
that area?
Yeah, Canton. So Canton area. So I don't know
they
what else is around there.
Kids.
Stoughton and that sort of thing. But I know for a fact that Upper Cape Tech hadn't beaten Blue Hills. They play them twice a year usually.
Okay.
Since 2005, and they scored a regulation win with our boy Des Nascimento, knocking down the game winning shot at the buzzer.
Wow.
So he has two game winning shots this year. I think the other one was South Shore Voke. I want to say that was those came early in the year. But Abington Blue Hills, I see that as a nice, really interesting matchup to go watch. My favorite to come out of the South Division IV.
Okay,
I'm gonna make up for the slanderous words he said against Matt Trahan. I'm gonna go with I'll go with the Old Colony Cougars as the favorite.
He's gonna kill me. But I'm looking at this Mayflower Athletic Conference. Holy cow, Bishop Conley 13-3, 8-2. But I don't know, this Sacred Heart, Avon, Holbrook, I mean,
yeah.
Norfolk Aggie, Cape Cod Tech, Bristol Aggie, I mean,
Well, yeah, those are the small schools, the Bristol Aggies, the Norfolk Aggies.
Diamond's 4-16, yeah. Tri-County, Bristol Plymouth, they're all in the large. They're terrible.
Right, yeah. I think Southeastern's in the large as well.
So, yeah, it is Southeastern and Blue Hills. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'll stick to my guns
Okay.
That's going to be interesting to see what happens in D4. We'll be texting each other when we see the results.
Yeah, I know. Like I said, we'll talk off the air.
Hey, I told you so.
You name your price. We'll talk about it. But you wanted to talk about the upcoming Cape and Islands League All-Star Game, which is right around the corner.
Real quick. Kudos to all the kids that really worked hard in the off season. I mean, I know who gets in the gym, and I'll tell you, all the kids.
Usually with you, yeah.
All the kids, well, and some with other guys and whatever, yeah. But well, they go to camps and so forth. But the kids who got in the gym and worked hard, they had good seasons individually. And collectively, their teams did well and made the tournament. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the proof is in the pudding. Yeah, and a shout-out to the great Al Faria, who runs the All-Star Game, the Cape and Islands All-Star Game.
What a fun event every year. I mean, great
event. A lot of fun. That's going to be March 15th at the Hyannis Rec Center.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he said the girls were at 1:15 and the boys at 3:30. He kind of spreads it out. I mean, they play 4 12-minute quarters, and then he has some contests and giveaways.
Right,
you know, Al does his thing. So it's great. I think those rosters will be out soon, and that's a great – it's really nice for the kids who have shown some promise and who have had good seasons to show their wares at the game. It's just a lot of fun. It's up and down. The score's usually well over 100.
Yeah, and it very much resembles the NBA All-Star Game, where you know you may not see a lot of defense until the final few minutes, intensity picks up.
Before we close, I'm a fan of the target score.
Right. I loved it.
The Elam ending. And that All-Star Game was tremendous.
And how much crap did that get coming into it, too? You know, everyone was saying, I don't understand it. It's too complicated. People fear change. That's
Barkley
what it comes
couldn't
down
understand
to.
It. Well. Kenny Smith, I mean, Shaq, they're like, what? I mean, come on. It's not that hard. But it made for a tremendous fourth quarter.
Right.
You've never seen an All-Star game where players played that hard, picked up charges, argued with the official, wanted replays. It was tremendous.
Yeah, I mean, you got Kemba Walker playing over his minutes restriction, and now suddenly he's getting his knee drained because he was so amped up into it, right?
Well, if you're a hooper, you're a hooper. You play, you know.
Right.
So
unless
it's
you're
all
Kyrie
good.
Irving.
It's all good.
Then you go and get your nose job.
Yeah, that's another story. That's another story.
Could have told you that was going
to
happen.
Hey, this has been a lot of fun. Maybe, I don't know, we'll have to maybe tweet out some comments or something to see who somehow follow up on this.
Someone hold us accountable? Because usually I'm not. I can just talk out into the ether.
Let me see if I picked up any followers. We're not on the air yet.
No, this isn't live yet. So I'll have this up probably by the time you're home, actually.
Okay.
That'll be great. So, Bob, I appreciate you coming in. Enjoy all the basketball. This is some of the best times of the year if you're a local high school hoop fan.
And for the kids, it's great. You know, life is winning, losing, struggling. So, you know, you lose your last game if you're in the state tournament unless you win the whole thing.
Yeah.
So God bless them all. I hope everybody's safe in their travels and really enjoy the moment. Enjoy it.
Get buckets, right?
Get buckets. Thank you.
I love it.